beware and prepare for something spine-tingling, something horrifying, pure terror to your eardrums. This is Epic Film Guy's B-Sides.
I'm back! I'm the man behind the mask, and I'm out of control! Welcome, ghouls, ghosts, and all you maniacs out there in hockey masks, to another edition of Epic Film Guy's B-Sides. Yeah, that's right, we're back again, and we are back from the dead. We're back from behind the mask, ladies and gentlemen. Be prepared. This is a very special episode of Epic Film Guy's B-Sides. I am Epic Film Guy Justin.
And I'm Epic Film Guy Brian.
And today, ladies and gentlemen, we're bringing to you something that you asked for. You wanted it, you got it. We asked you, the fans, what film you wanted us to take from the Friday the 13th franchise and talk about it on Epic Film Guy's B-Sides to hit on none other than Friday the 13th, the most perfect occasion to talk about a Friday the 13th film. And you guys, all over social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you name it, you guys voted, and this is what you got. Friday the 13th, Jason Lives, baby. And this is a favorite among the fan community, so that's what you got. This is what we're going to be talking about tonight, and I'm really excited about this. We actually talked about this on the podcast for its 30th anniversary not that long ago, and Nick had to sit through me babbling on about it for at least 20 minutes, so Nick's out of this one. He's safe for this. He doesn't have to deal with it, but I've got Brian here along for the ride. So Brian, you just saw this film for the first time recently, am I right?
Very recently, yeah. I was attempting to do a marathon of the films around Halloween time, but then of course the Middleburg Film Festival came up and I just never got around to finishing the complete series. But I had seen the first one multiple times, but I had never watched two through, you know, the rest of the series until very recently. And I got up until number 8. So I've seen up through that just one time except for the first one.
Okay. So, if I recall, wasn't the first time you saw Jason Lives at my place? We watched it on Blu-ray,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's right. We had a couple beers and we watched Jason Lives, and it was great.
What better Friday the 13th film to sit down to with a couple of beers on a Friday night, late at night, you know, midnight movie, and then Jason Lives? I mean, for me, it's definitely one of my personal favorites of the franchise. But for those out there, Brian, that may not know Jason Lives, they may just be kind of, you know, newcomers to the franchise, why don't you tell them what Jason Lives is all about?
Yeah, well, our hero from the previous two movies, Tommy Jarvis, returns to Camp Crystal Lake, which is newly reopened as Camp Forest Green, to dig up the body of Jason Voorhees in order to make sure that he's really dead. But in doing so, however, he accidentally brings Jason back to life. And as always, Jason wreaks bloody havoc on the unsuspecting campers as Tommy vows to destroy him once and for all.
And to piggyback right off of that, you mentioned bloody. Well, this film is about as bloody as the MPAA would allow it to be. The MPAA was notorious for hating the Friday the 13th franchise among many other horror franchises in the 80s, and they literally butchered almost every single one of these films. And, you know, someday I'd love to see, you know, an ultimate cut, you know, an unrated cut of all these films. Jason Lives definitely suffered from those cuts from the MPAA. But you mentioned the opening. The opening, to me, is one of the most grand, epic, and amazing sequences in Friday the 13th history. We have Tommy Jarvis, as you said. Now, played here by a different actor than the previous two films, played by Tom Matthews, known for Return of the Living Dead, who I very much like in the role. We had a different actor in the previous film, and of course, we all know that we had Corey Feldman in the role as a small child in Part 4, the final chapter. Does Tom Matthews look anything at all like Corey Feldman, do you?
Nope.
Not at all. But for me, that doesn't take away from the fact that I think that Matthews definitely plays a good Tommy Jarvis here. He's very serviceable in the role, but he's jumping right in there. He's just escaped his mental facility, and they're on their way to Crystal Lake or Camp Forest Green to dig up Jason Voorhees. even though he's already been in the ground for a certain period of time, and you know, you'd have to assume if he's been there for that long, he's probably not coming back out. But of course, in great horror fashion, they dig him right up in a, you know, well, right before it's about to storm, to make sure he's dead. And Tommy takes this, you know, stake off the fence, this metal iron piece off the fence, and he stabs the hell out of Jason's corpse. And then, of course, what happens, Brian?
Lightning strikes, as they say.
A lightning bolt right into that, right into Jason's chest. And of course, he wakes up. Maggots on his face, and he's pissed, and he's ready to kill everyone. So much so that we get one of the best kills of the film right up front, with Jason ripping the heart out of Horshack. That's right, Horshack. As we see Tommy then spree from the scene, he's gone, and this is how the film starts. And I absolutely love the credit at the beginning of this. I know so many fans are you know, within me in the majority for this, Brian. I love the fact that they have the James Bond, you know, thing with Jason walking into the circle that he slashes into the screen with the blood dripping everywhere.
Yeah, it's his version of the classic gun barrel James Bond sequence. And it works brilliantly, because what I love about the opening is that right off the bat, it lets you know this is going to be a different kind of Friday the 13th movie, because it doesn't take itself as seriously. It is very, it's kind of a throwback to like classic Hammer horror, and it's very gothic atmosphere. But it's also a little jokey. And again, with the gun barrel, that's pure camp, and I love it.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's almost like a satirical take on the slasher genre in general, basically. Now, I know from what I've learned through over the years being a huge Friday the 13th fan that director Tom McLaughlin came into this thing very unsure of wanting to do one, very much like most of the other directors that came into the studio to talk about doing one of these. Are like, it's number 3, it's number 4, it's number 5, it's number 6. You know, he's coming into a number 6 here. And, you know, why do I want to do this thing? What can I bring to the table that's going to make this different, you know, my kind of film, you know, a new spin on the franchise? And I honestly love Tom McLaughlin's view of the franchise so much of this. His satirical edge that he brings to the film. It's funny. It's got great,
it's a very funny movie,
great,
yeah.
Great jokes. You know, and he does his best to serve up the brutal kills that we know and love from this franchise, even if, as I said previously, it does get butchered in the editing room due to the MPAA. But this film starts out, and it definitely, like you just said, it lets you know this is something different. And this is coming after A New Beginning, which is a film that many, many fans, they hate it. And for good reason to an extent. Now, Brian, do you know why? Tell me why. Do you have any idea why fans hate A New Beginning?
Because Jason Voorhees isn't in it?
He's kind of in it, like a dream sequence for like a second, but
The killer.
No, he's not the killer. He's not the killer. No. A fat dude gets hacked up over a candy bar, okay? And his dad, an ambulance EMT worker, sees the kid and then ends up trying to... He's an imposter, Jason. He's going to pretend he's Jason and kill all these people just because he saw this big, fat, retarded kid get hacked up over a candy bar. And while that film has some good kills, and I don't mind it, I'm nowhere near as much of a hater as other people are within the fan community. When that came out, fans were pissed. You know, it was a big deal. But you don't mess with Jason, man. That's like messing with, you know, the Bible, basically. That's their religion. So McLaughlin sets out in this immediately to let the fans know, we're giving you Jason in all his glory. And this is the debut, Brian, of Zombie Jason. This is the first time we see him rise from the grave in the way that he does. And he's got maggots on his face, and you could tell that, you know, he's been in the ground rotting for a while. Even though, as we've previously discussed, Brian, the timeline in all these films is totally fucked. Okay, none of it works.
The continuity, yeah, is not very good. Didn't they say he was like cremated or something in the last movie? And then in this one, he I guess has a grave. I don't know. He's in a coffin. It doesn't really match up with the previous movies. But at any rate, who cares about continuity when you know what you're wanting to see is kills and, you know, boobs and stuff like that. So, although this movie doesn't have any boobs, unfortunately.
It does not, no, because of the simple fact that the only opportunity where there could be boobs, nope, chick said, nope, not happening. It wasn't in my contract. So it is a boobless Friday the 13th film, but that doesn't stop us fans from enjoying the hell out of it. And again, that's why you guys, the fans, voted for us to talk about this one above all the other ones. I have to tell you, Brian, I was a little bit surprised by that, with so many fans loving the final chapter. And I openly admit the final chapter is my personal favorite of the franchise. Just thought that it was going to be the final chapter, or Jason X, like something that people just totally want us to rip into a little bit. But no, you guys chose Jason Lives, and for good reason. It's such a fun time. This is literally one of the most fun slasher-related or slasher-centric films ever. So we follow Tommy Jarvis. He's going crazy about this Jason thing. He storms right into the police station, and he tells Sheriff Garris, played by David Kagan, Jason's on its way. He's after me. You got to stop him. We got to go. We got to take care of this problem because Jason's on the loose again. And of course, Sheriff Garris doesn't believe this kid at all. He's not all about these young whippersnappers in his police station telling him how it is. He's like the old school mentality police officer. And as we see him put Tommy away, Tommy ends up meeting Megan, played by Jennifer Cook, which is Sheriff Garris's daughter. And there's a certain chemistry there, man.
She is a cutie. I think she is like embodies the classic beauty slasher final girl. Like she has this great look to her, and she's great as the character too. I mean, she is feisty and she's fiery, and she has a little back and forth with her dad, like a little banter that was great. I love her character. I would have liked to have seen her in more Friday the 13th movies.
I agree. I totally do. She's one of the highlights out of any of the films, not only because she's very, very cute. She's got a very specific look to her. I think she's got a great performance in this. Her comedic wit in the film and her comic timing based on the material she had is really, really great. I absolutely love, you know, the relationship she has with her father, which I didn't know this until recently, but I guess Jennifer Cook, that played Megan, and David Kagan, who played Sheriff Garris, they actually did like acting classes together or something prior to them doing this film together, so they already had a chemistry, so that definitely shines on screen. Now, outside of these main characters here, okay, and Officer Rick Cologne, who has his little laser pointer, you know what I'm saying, Brian? Wherever the red dot goes, you bang.
You bang, yeah.
which is an iconic line. We have these other kids in the film. I just wanted to ask, basic opinion, what did you think about the other kids we see at Camp Forest Green that are there to actually watch and host like a camp for young kids?
They were all fine. The one that stands out to me, though, is Court, who just embodies pure 80s. He's the guy in the ripped jeans and the crop top and the earring. And he definitely had the most personality out of the other counselors. He had a pretty good death too.
Yeah, man.
But the others didn't stand out as much for me. They're just kind of machete fodder.
Throwaway, yeah. What's funny is that is actually Tom Fridley, who is John Travolta's nephew.
Oh my God, I did not know that.
Yeah, man. If you look in the face, maybe possibly you can see something there. I have no idea what that dude did after this movie, if he ever did anything after this. But I've always thought the Court character was extremely hilarious. He's so stupid. He is the epitome of like a dumb 80s dude. But I love the character. He's great. And I love the fact that when he's actually getting laid in the camper, they're like bouncing back and forth to the jams, and they're like dancing with the music while they're banging. It's not even really like, how could you bang that way? I have no idea. Is that even possible to like bang with the beat? I don't think I can do it, man. I don't know.
I wouldn't know.
Aww. Do you need Jason to show you some love? I'm sure he could show up here. But getting to that elephant in the room, that's right. His name is Jason Voorhees, motherfucker. That's who we're talking about in this thing, because Jason Lives. Now, this film started out shooting. It's notoriously known that the film started shooting with a stuntman. And they had a stuntman doing all the day scenes for those paintball scenes, Brian, that a lot of people like to laugh at. They're very comedic. It's during the day. You don't see Jason during the day all that much in the franchise up until this point.
Don't.
But in
yeah.
this film, you see him out there, and you see these paintballers that are out there on a business retreat doing paintball. There's a nice funny joke there about, you know, all the dudes get beat by the girl, and the dude's like, oh, damn women, they should stay in the kitchen. And then he ends up getting his arm ripped off by Jason, and whatever, it's a great kill, but the dude that played Jason, he did it for a couple of shots and he did that whole sequence there when the studio ended up saying, this guy's not right for the role at all. And they ended up firing him. And I'm actually...
He's a little chunky.
Dude, he's got man boobs, bro. You can just see him as Jason's, you know, trying to walk strongly through the woods. You can see those man boobs, dude. He's just not right for the role. So in comes CJ Graham, who's definitely up there for my personal favorite Jasons. He was actually a nightclub manager or owner, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, fans. And he had actually done a Jason skit for Halloween the previous year at the nightclub, put on the whole getup and everything. And there were actually people involved in the previous Fridays that were there that saw that. So somehow word got around back and forth and he was in the military. So he had military training and that's how he got the job. Usually the job for Jason goes to a stunt guy. In this case, CJ Graham stepped in, and how glad I am. I have to tell you, Brian, he's got a great physical presence in this film. Anytime you see Jason walking, the head turn, there's certain things he gives the character, you know, pre-Kane Hodder that we hadn't seen before. And I think that he really embodies Jason perfectly, especially this version of this new zombie Jason. He's brutal. He's very slow. And I love the shit out of his Jason. What do you think about it?
Well, this is the first film in which we get, I guess you could call him zombie Jason. What I like about his movements and that he's very much like a hulking, imposing figure, kind of like a Frankenstein's monster.
Exactly.
And he has like little moments that are almost that we recognize as human. I don't remember exactly where this is in the film, and you might have to remind me, but there's a part where he just kind of tilts his head a little bit. He's looking at something
or
someone.
It's in the woods with the camper and Court's getting laid, and he hears He hears the heavy metal music, the rock, hard rock music coming from the camper, and he just tilts his head a little bit, and you see him slowly move towards the camper.
It's iconic. Just like little moments like that. Make his Jason really stand out for me.
I know your favorite shot, and it's one of my favorite shots in the entire film, and it may take you a moment to remember, but why don't you tell us, what's your favorite shot of Jason in this movie? You talk about it a lot with me.
Oh, no, I don't need a second to remember. I know exactly what it is. When the RV flips on its side, and you see Jason on top of the burning RV, and he's just standing there with his machete, it is so awesome. I want that framed on my wall.
Who does it, man? Come on. And that just goes to show, man, as much as a lot of fans do give this film a little bit of shit because it's not straight. Okay. It doesn't play it straight. It does play it for laughs
it
a little bit. Well, I don't know. Is it? No.
I don't know. You said it wasn't straight.
I don't think any gay.
Is it bisexual?
I don't. The lisp is not in this thing. That guy's gone. He's been gone forever. I'm telling you. But no, I mean, I don't think there's no gay actors in this one. I don't think. I know there's one in, you know, the next one in the new
book. Oh, is there?
Yeah. We'll talk about that one maybe at a later date, but you know, it's a different take on the franchise. It's fun. It's got a different feeling to it. So when you see the kills, they are brutal, which we're going to be getting to in a moment here, but sometimes you kind of laugh a little bit at them. One of the ones that stands out so much, and Tom McLaughlin did a great job at this, is, you know, in the beginning of the film, the couple out there, they're just driving through the woods randomly driving through the woods. And Jason's just standing there in front of them, you know, and the dude pulls a gun on Jason and he gets basically a big stake through his chest and he's done. And we see the iconic death with the stake through the chick. And then you see the American Express card leave her hand slowly. And the camera just stays on that American Express, just drifting in that muddy water. And he did it for laughs. He did it purposely because that was a huge thing in the 80s, those commercials where, you know, American Express, don't leave home without it. It was in a lot of movies. It was a big pop culture thing. And till this day, he mentions over and over again how that always gets the laughs at any screening, any showing of the film. Someone says, don't leave home without it when the American Express card leaves their hands. So that just goes to show, you know, the kind of level of thought that went into these kills. I mean, they're not the most brutal compared to the previous films or anything like that, but they're fun.
Well, no, but that kill that you mentioned is actually one of the scariest ones for me because in the previous films, when Jason kills, it is usually because, you know, teenagers are being promiscuous or you know, they cross him somehow. But in the that kill in the woods with those two drivers, that's completely unprovoked. It's completely random. It's kind of nihilistic in that way, where they're just on a drive and they get stopped by Jason and he just kills them for no reason. And that's actually, their deaths are comedic, as you mentioned, but it's also, that's one of the scarier ones for me because it is completely unprovoked.
Exactly. I totally agree. And that's why I think I love it so much. And as far as the kills are concerned, I have to throw this out there. We could be talking about the kills the entire time, but this is a B-side. And as you guys know, these are short little segments. So we're going to try to cram as much as we can about this movie into this short little period of time we have. But my favorite kill is the death of none other than Sheriff Garris himself. Something insane. Like, whoever came up with this idea is just genius. Like, Jason literally taking a dude and bending the dude over backwards and just snapping him in half.
Yeah.
You see, we've seen footage on Crystal Lake Memories, the Blu-ray for all the fans that know that. You guys know it. You see that quick glimpse of the unedited version that just looks amazing. But the MPAA cut that shit out. But even so, you know, I'd never seen that version of it. When I'd always watched the film previous to that coming out, I loved it. It's so great. It's so brutal. You just imagine Jason taking a dude and just crunching him in half. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. And you wish you could see the unedited version of this film because you know it must be floating out there somewhere. But the deaths could have been a little bit more graphic, I guess. But Jason is brutal in this movie. He straight up rips a guy's arm off. He just straight up like crushes a guy's head with his bare hands. He breaks a guy's back. He throws a girl through a window. Like, he is very brutal in this film. And the kills reflect that. Could we have seen more gore? Sure. But ultimately, I think the kills in this, and this is the highest body count of the series up to that point, right? With I think I counted like 18 kills or something.
Well, close. McLaughlin wanted to have it right at 13. He purposely had it at 13. And then the studio came in. They said, it's good. We like it. Everything's good. But we're going to give you more money to do some more kills. So that's why he added those random other two people, the other couple you know, the random. It's a really weak kill with the two that are on the little motor scooter or motorcycle in the woods after, you know, the drunk cemetery keeper just kind of wanders around. I love that dude. I love that the fact that he says in a slasher film, do they think I'm a fart head? I love that that is even muttered in a slasher movie.
Cut to a bunch of kids going,
yeah! you know, but they added more, that kill in there to add a little bit of weight there. But in this, you just mentioned the kids as we're wrapping up here, as we're going to eventually get to our rating of the film and kind of just close out this B-side, because we could be talking about this. It could be a full episode. This is the first time we see actual kids in a Friday the 13th film, like actual young kids. And, you know, even though you know going into this, you probably won't see any of them get killed, there is still that sense of danger. And you see Jason going into one of the cabins with a little girl and just standing right next to her. You know, they add a definite tension there with knowing those kids are there for, you know, especially think about watching this film for the first time in the theater. You know, when it first came out, you had to have wondered if Jason's going to, hey, is he going to chop a kid's head off? You know, we both know, Brian, that based on our Jack Frost review, that you love seeing kids, children get decapitated and killed in movies.
I do, and that's the one point I will give Jack Frost over this movie is that it did show a child's head being, you know, chopped clean off. And I would have liked to have seen that in this movie. Sadly, unfortunately, no children die. But, you know, like you said, there is that palpable sense of danger. But also a lot of the movie's biggest laughs come from the situation of children being involved. There's this great scene where the kids are hiding under the bed because Jason's outside.
I knew you were going to get to this.
My favorite line of the whole movie. And one kid says to the other, what were you going to be when you grew up? it's like gallows humor. It's so dark, but it's a very funny line. And that's what McLaughlin does so well in this, is he balances murder and death and grotesqueness with light humor. And it's so bizarre, but you can see how it paved the way for horror comedies to come. I read that Kevin Williamson was very much inspired by this movie when he was writing Scream.
Really? Yeah. I had no idea. That's new to me. That's amazing to hear that, you know. Hey, man, the Scream franchise is huge, and it's one of my favorite slasher horror films ever made, at least the first one is. But to hear that, I mean, I got to meet McLaughlin. He's on my list. He's on my list of people to meet. And CJ Graham, Brian, is actually going to be at Monster Mania in New Jersey in March. And as well as Ted White, who played Jason in the final chapter. You know how I like to do my conventions, ladies and gentlemen? I'm going to have to make my way up there. I just have to do it. I need to meet CJ Graham, and Ted White's on my list. But that's insane. That's awesome. I really tried, ladies and gentlemen. I wanted to get Tom McLaughlin on the show. It's not an easy thing to do, so maybe another time.
Maybe for a future, yeah. That would be cool to have someone involved with some of these movies on the podcast with us. Maybe we can try to get someone on at some point in the future.
I'd love it. I'd absolutely love to do that, you know, because I love this movie, and it's one of those. How I started with this franchise is actually when I was younger, when I was in metal bands and stuff, and I would meet lots of chicks at the bar, would always go home, and the easy way to end the night, ladies and gentlemen, I think you know what I'm talking about. It's going to happen.
Oh my God.
You're there, you know. It's going to happen, but the easy way to make that happen was putting in a Friday the 13th film almost every single time. Brian, you know the story. You know the story. I tell you all the time. It was always a Friday the 13th, and Jason Lives was one of my go-tos. So that's why it's so important to me. And wrapping up here, I have to tell you, the ending of this film, the climax, the end is so great. What better of an ending could be than, you know, Tommy Jarvis in this canoe in the middle of Crystal Lake, off this pier, and he's lighting up the fire around the canoe, and he's got this chain with this rock, and he literally just throws it around Jason's neck, and they're fighting, they're battling in the water, and then he ends up getting Jason sunk to the bottom of the lake. I mean, it's definitely one of the larger scale, most badass, epic endings, or even scenes of any of the films, Brian.
It's a pretty epic standoff, yeah.
Ending up with that ending is awesome. And, you know, I would have loved to see McLaughlin come back, and I'd love to see him come back to the franchise at some point.
He's a consultant on the game.
Yeah. I read that, which is awesome. I was just going to mention that. And you just knew that, Brian. So kudos for that. But I love everything about this movie. It's in my top five of the franchise, if not my top three. And I'll say this, fans, you can hate me for it. I don't care. I like this film better than the original Friday the 13th. I just don't care. Dun, 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 dun. I'm the man behind the mask, and I'm out of control. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, but that's literally all we have.
Thank you. That'll be all.
Thank you. That'll be all. That's all we have for you guys for Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives. We appreciate every single one of you guys listening to the B-Sides episodes, and of course, all of you out there who voted. We had literally, I think, almost 100 people vote on all of our social media platforms for this film, for us to choose which film of the franchise for us to review and talk about to hit on Friday the 13th. So again, we thank you all so much. You are the reason why we do this. And I had a great time doing it, Brian.
Yeah, for sure. Are we doing ratings?
Yes, we are. I'm going to throw it right to you. Machete in the throat, motherfucker. What is your rating?
My rating for Jason Lives, and like I said, I'm by no means a diehard fan of the Friday the 13th series, but out of the ones that I've seen, I would rate this right behind the final chapter as my favorite of the series. Jason Lives, he also rules. I like this movie a lot, and it'll be in my rotation to rewatch stormy summer nights. I like it a lot, yeah.
So what is your rating, Brian?
I'm gonna give it an 8 out of 10.
Whoa, dude, you totally just stole my thunder, bro. Hey, Megan, that's why you gotta get with a guy like me. No, I'm not Court. I wish I was Court, though. I wish I could go back in time and be Court.
I know. Right. I think we all want to be Court.
Dude, totally. With that crop top, I just want to be like him. You know, like, you know, like Indians, this is how they, like, you know, they would set these stones around, and dude, he's totally so cool. But same rating for me, Brian. 8 out of 10 for Jason Lives. It's a great film. It's great fun time for any horror fan, especially for fans of the slasher genre. So that is what it is. And again, thanks again for all you guys for listening. I am Epic Film Guy Justin.
And I'm Epic Film Guy Brian.
And we will see you at the movies. Are you out of control?
Yes. Wildly, wildly out of control.
Are you the man behind the mask?
I fucking hate you. Is this what tonight's show is going to be like?
I'm the man behind the mask.
I'm the man behind the mask.
And I'm out of control. Man behind the mask. He's the man behind the mask. And he's out of control. I'm the man behind the mask. I'm the man behind the mask. And I'm out of control. And he's out of control.